Leader's Message on Hajj. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful, praise belongs to the Lord of the Universe. Greetings and peace upon the Master of the Messengers and Prophets, and upon his spotlessly pure progeny and his righteous companions. The advent of the Hajj season ought to be considered a great aid of the Islamic Ummah, the worthwhile opportunity that these precious days bring about for Muslims all over the world every year is a miraculous elixir whose value, if known and utilized as it deserves, would heal many of the ills and vulnerabilities of the Islamic world. Hajj is the gushing spring of divine blessing. Each of you fortunate pilgrims has now attained this lofty opportunity to cleanse your heart and soul properly through these deeds and rites, replete with purity and spirituality, so as to make the necessary stock through this source of mercy, dignity, and powers for your entire life. Humbleness and submission before the merciful God, commitment to the duties that are incumbent upon Muslims, alacrity, progress and action in religious and worldly affairs, compassion and forgiveness in dealing with brethren, courage and self-confidence in the face of adversities, hope in the divine aid and assistance, everywhere and for everything, and in short, building and fashioning a human being as a true Muslim in this arena of the divine education and grooming, you can purview all these and by adorning yourself with these ornaments and benefiting from these treasuries, take it as a souvenir to your country and nation, and ultimately the Islamic Ummah. Today, the Islamic Ummah is more than anything in need of human beings who, in addition to faith, purity, and sincerity, are persons of thought and action, steadfast against their rancorous enemies, in line with spiritual self-construction. This is the sole path of salvation for the great Muslim community from the calamities in which it has been entrapped, either through the enemy's overt actions or because of sluggish in resolve, faith, and insight that has plagued it since the past ages. Undoubtedly, the present era is the era of awakening of Muslims and the rediscovery of their identity. This fact is clearly evident in the challenges faced by Muslim countries. It is in these very conditions that the resolve and the will based on belief, trust, insight, and providence can make Muslims successful and triumphant in these challenges, thereby paving the way toward a destiny of dignity and grandeur. The opposite front, which doesn't tolerate the awakening and dignity of Muslims, has entered the arena with all its power and is using all security, psychological, military, economic, and propaganda tools to inactivate and suppress Muslims and make them preoccupied amongst themselves. A glance at the situation of West Asian countries from Pakistan and Afghanistan to Syria, Iraq, Palestine, and the Persian Gulf states, and also the North African countries from Libya, Egypt, and Tunisia to Sudan, as well as certain other countries, clarifies many realities. Civil wars, blind religious and sectarian bigotries, political instabilities, prevalence of violent terrorism, emergence of extremist groups and currents that rend apart the chests of innocent humans in the manner of the old savage nations to chew the heart, armed men who kill children and women, decapitate men and rape their womenfolk, and even commit these horrendous and disgusting crimes in the name of and under the flag of religion, all of these are devilish and arrogant schemes of the security services of outside power and their complicit state agents in the region that are likely to occur on ripe internal grounds of the countries, darkening the day for nations and embittering life for them. Certainly, under such circumstances, one cannot expect Muslim countries to close their material and spiritual gaps and attain security, welfare, scientific progress and international prestige as the blessings of awakening and rediscovery of identity. These adverse conditions can abort the Islamic awakening and destroy the spiritual readiness that has emerged in the Islamic world and might once again lead the Muslim peoples to stagnation, isolation and decadence, thereby pushing into oblivion their essential and important issues, like the deliverance of Palestine and other Muslim peoples from American and Zionist interventionism. The fundamental remedy can be summarized in two phrases, both of which are among the most prominent lessons of Hajj. First, the unity and brotherhood of Muslims under the banner of monotheism. Second, identifying the enemy and countering its plots and stratagems. Strengthening the spirit of fraternity and cooperation is a great lesson of the Hajj. Even squabble and speaking in raised tones to others is forbidden here. The same garments, the same rites, the same movements and kind behavior signifies equality and fraternity of all those who have attached their heart to and believe in the focal point of Tawheed. This is the explicit response of Islam to any thought, creed and call that excludes any group of Muslims and believers in the Kaaba and Tawheed from the circle of Islam. The takfiri elements which have turned into a plaything of the policy of the deceitful Zionists and their Western backers and are committing horrendous crimes by shedding the blood of Muslims and innocent people, as well as those who feign religiosity and those who fan the flames of Shiite-Sunni differences, and so on, should know that the letter and spirit of the Hajj nullifies their claim. Like many of the ulema of Islam and the sympathizers of the Islamic Ummah, I announce once again that any word or act that ignites the fire of difference among Muslims and insults the sanctities of any Muslim group or excommunicates any of the Islamic denominations only serves the camp of disbelief and polytheism and is betrayal of Islam and thus religiously forbidden. Identification of the enemy and its stratagems is the second principle. First, the spiteful enemy shouldn't be forgotten or ignored. The repetition several times of the ritual of Ramy Jamarat, stoning the symbolic Satans at Mina in Hajj, is a symbolic sign of this permanent presence of the avowed enemies of Islam in the mind. Second, there shouldn't be a mistake in identifying the main enemy, which today is made up of the front of global arrogance and the criminal network of Zionism. Third, the stratagems of this adamant enemy, namely sowing discord among Muslims, promotion of political and moral corruption, threatening and enticing the elites, economic pressures on nations, and creation of doubts in the Islamic beliefs, should be properly distinguished and thereby their affiliates and conscious and unconscious aides should be detected. The arrogant government led by the U.S., use the all-pervasive and sophisticated media tools to hide their real image and behave deceitfully against the public opinion of nations by claiming support for human rights and democracy. They speak of the rights of nations while Muslim nations increasingly feel the fire of their seditions with body and soul. A glance at the oppressed Palestinian nation, which for decades has been the target of crimes of the Zionist regime and its supporters almost every day, or at countries like Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq, in which the life of the people has been made miserable by terrorism spawned by the policies of arrogance and its local agents, or at Syria, which because of its backing of the anti-Zionist resistance front, has been the target of the animosity of international hegemons and their regional elements who have embroiled it into a bloody civil war, or at Bahrain or Myanmar, in each of which country the long-suppressed Muslims have been neglected one way or another while the enemies receive support, or at other nations which are constantly threatened by the US and its allies with military assault or economic sanction or security sabotage can show to all the real image of these leaders of the domineering system. The political, cultural, and religious elites all over the Islamic world ought to consider themselves committed in disclosing these realities. This is the moral and religious duty of all of us. The North African countries, which are unfortunately subjected to deep-rooted domestic differences, should pay utmost attention to this great responsibility, that is, identifying the enemy and its methods and stratagems. Continuation of differences among national currents and ignoring the risk of civil war in these countries is a big danger whose damage won't be repaired that soon. Of course, we have no doubt that the rising nations of the region that sparked the Islamic awakening, by God's permission, won't let the time turn back to the era of the corrupt, dependent, and dictatorial rulers, yet ignoring the role of the arrogant powers in creating sedition and plotting interventions will make it hard for them and will delay for years the materialization of the era of dignity, security, and welfare. We believe wholeheartedly in the ability of the nations and the power bestowed in the resolve, faith, and insight of the masses, and have witnessed it and tested it during over 3 decades of the flourishing of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We intend to invite all Muslim nations toward the experience of their brethren in faith in this proud and inexhaustible country. I appeal to God Almighty for the betterment of the state of Muslims and end of the conspiracies of the enemies, and beseech Him for an acceptable Hajj with healthy body and soul, and an abundant spiritual treasury for all of you, the pilgrims, to the house of God. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sayyid Ali Khamenei.